Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erevin Daf Beis. Welcome to Maseches Erevin. Your reward for finishing Maseches Shabbos is that you get to learn Maseches Erevin. So today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's also sponsored Le'ilui Nishmas Meir Yosef Ben Abraham Alav Hashalom by his children and grandchildren, and also by Jeremy Lussman, Luzecha, the yahrzeit of his grandmother, and Lasmin Chana Rachel Basra Avram Alter Allah Shalom Nisham Shalom Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So Maseches Erevin, just to give a little bit of the lay of the land, it is known as one of the more challenging Maseches in Shas. The Zohar comments that the Ani Rochev Mashiach comes as an Ani Rochev Alachamar, that Ani is a Rashi Tevis for Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, because those are the more challenging Maseches, and when Klal Yisrael takes it upon themselves to master these Maseches, that's when Mashiach is going to come. So we have our work cut out for us, but Maseches Erevin has been made much, much easier with a number of Svarim that produce diagrams and pictures, and now on the Aldaf app, you have videos that show how different Erevin are built and how many of the sugyas are referring to. So we're ready for Mashiach, Bez Hashem, as we learn through Maseches Erevin. The basic layout of the Masechta is that the first two prakim discuss Mechitzos, the halachas of mechitzos, of a mavoy and a chatzer, in order to be allowed to carry within the mavoy and the chatzer, and different places that are hukaf ledira, and when the chacham were makel with a dinim of mechitzos for the sake of animals, or for the olei regalim, for things of that nature. But primarily, first two prakim are about mechitzos. What constitutes a mechitza? Because you need to have a rishos hayachid in order to be able to carry. The third, fourth, and fifth prakim talk about a ruvei tchumin, which really has nothing to do with a ruvei chatzeros or shituvei mavuos or carrying in Rosh Hashanah. That's just about how far you're allowed to walk outside the city limits on Shabbos. The tchum Shabbos is alpayim amma. So all of that, and so sometimes you want to extend to walk beyond 2,000 amma. So you set up an eruv, you put a ruvei tchum, and you put a meal at a certain distance from the city, and you set that as your home base. That's going to be the third through the fifth prakim. The sixth through the ninth prakim discuss the halachos of actually creating the Eruvei Chatzeros and the Shitufei Mavuos, that in order to join multiple Rishuyos together to make it considered a single Rishus Hayachid, so that you can carry from one to the other, so you need to create an Eruv Chatzeros Shitufei Mavuos. That comes all the way from the 6th to the 9th parak. And then the 10th parak discusses some other details of Hotza'ah that aren't directly linked to Eruv. So the Minator, a little bit of background, Mida Oraisa, your person is not allowed to carry objects on Shabbos four amos within Rosh HaSarabim. Rosh HaSarabim is defined, may have many definitions, but the most fundamental definition is that it's an area that's at least 16 amos wide and is open on both ends, that it's mefulash from one end to the other. It may have other requirements. It may require shishim riba, that there are 600,000 people that go there each and every day, but these are the basic requirements of a Rosh HaSarabim. However, even though it's only asur min haTorah to carry in a Rosh HaSarabim, the Chavur goes there, that even in a place that's not necessarily Rosh HaSarabim Midah Raisa, you're also not allowed to be Metaltel, lest you come to be Metaltel in Rosh HaSarabim. So for example, we're going to be discussing a Mavui. You have a Mavui where many Chatzeros open up into the Mavui, even though it doesn't meet the characteristics of Rosh HaSarabim Midah Raisa. We don't allow carrying within the Mavui unless you fix it in some way. There are two types of Mavuos. There's what's called a Mavui Mefulash. A Mavui is an alleyway through which into which Chatzeros open up into. A chatzer has many homes that open up into the chatzer. So a mavoi mefulash is a mavoi that's open on both ends. On the sides, there are walls where the chatzeros open up into it, but on both ends, it's wide open. So if it's narrower than 16 amos, it's not a Rosh HaSarabim Daraisa, but you're not allowed to carry there. Then you have a mavoi she'enu mefulash, where it's actually walled in on three sides. It's only parts on the fourth side. It's only open on the fourth side. So you need to do something on that fourth side to be allowed to carry within that mavui. There are three ways to fix a mavui. One way to fix a mavui is to put a lechi. You just put a little pole or a post on one side of the entranceway. The second way to fix it is al yidei kora. You put a beam over the top of the entranceway of the mavui from end to end over the entranceway of the mavui, and then hopefully as a person is carrying the mavui, he'll notice when he sees the beam not to walk beyond that point carrying anything. And then the third way to be misakin a mavui is al yidei tzuras hapeh. Pesach, that we take a kana mikan, v'kana mikan, v'kana al gabayim, two posts and something going over it, all of our erev in the strings that you see around, that's all tsuras ha-Pesach. They have a kana mikan, and then something, you have posts on both sides, or poles on both sides, and then something going over it, and that's the third way to be misakin a mavui. So our Mishnah is going to discuss about the maximum height and width of a mavui, of the doorway of a mavui, the entranceway of a mavui, that the tikkun is then going to work on, because if it's beyond a certain height or width, some of these tikkunim may not work. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the source for the dimensions that we're going to talk about, of the height and the width, whether it's derived from the Mishkan, from the Mikdash, which doorways in the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and that's essentially the entire daf, is to discuss where it comes from and how we ended up with the shittos that we have as far as the dimensions of the height and the width of a mavui. So let's get started. Says the Mishnah, mavui shu gaval l'malam e'asr mam. If you have a mavui that's more than 20 amos high, you might, that you should lower it down, you should make it lower, and that way the height from the korah to the floor of the mavui is going to be less than 20 amos, and therefore it will serve as a proper hacker. You'll be able to notice it when you walk out of the mavui, and that's the only way it's going to work. If it's more than 20 amos high, it's not going to work. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Tzarech. Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, you can leave it more than 20 amos high. That's perfectly fine. Now, there's a discussion. What does it mean, a mavui that's higher than 20 amos? So the Meiri writes that mavui means a korah, meaning even though mavui really is a reference to the alleyway, but the problem is not that the mavui is more than 20 amos high, it's that the beam over the mavui is more than 20 amos high. But sometimes Chazal will do that. They'll take a multifaceted a concept, and they'll use the broad term to describe a specific detail of that concept. So mavoi is the alleyway with the walls on the side and the beam over the entranceway. It's all of these things, but they use the term mavoi to just describe the korah. That's how the Meiri understands. However, the Ritva explains that no, we're not talking about the korah. We're talking about the airspace from the ground to the top of the mavui. The korah happens to be the top, but if we're talking about if the airspace is lamala mechafama, is more than 20 amos, then you need to minimize that airspace. Tosa Rosh understands that no, we're talking about the walls of the mavui, because the korah rests on top of the walls, so the walls of the mavui make up the ikur mavui. But whatever it is, if it's more than 20 amos, Tanakama says you need to make it lower, otherwise you're not going to be able to be metaltel in it. But this is talking about the korah that's being matir mavui. We mentioned that there are multiple ways to be matir mavui. What if you have a lechi? So rov rishonim, pretty much all the rishonim say that if you have a lechi, you have a post on one side, it doesn't matter how high the mavui is, because the whole point is that the whole problem of being too high is that you're not going to notice it. But a lechi is a pole that's on the floor. If it's a pole that's on the floor, that's on the side of the entranceway, who cares how high it is? And that's how the Rashba and the Ritva and the Ran, all the Rishonim explain. The only exception to that is the Beis Meir's understanding of the Rambam. The Rambam, both in Pirush HaMishnayis and in the 17th parak of Hilchos Shabbos and the Tur, the Beis Meir understands hold that even a lechi is not going to be matir mavui that's more than 20 amos high. Why? Why does that make any sense? It doesn't. Chacham hishvu midos sehem. The Chacham determined that a tzuras ha-pesach can accomplish certain things, and a lechi and a korah can accomplish a little less than that. But a lechi and a korah always have to have the same rules. So if a korah is not going to help when it's lamala mechafama, a lechi is not going to help when it's lamala mechafama either. But again, that is not the pashtus. The pashtus is, like Rov Rishonim say, that a lechi would work even if it's more than 20 amos high. Again, what's the idea of 20 amos? It's not magic. We have this halacha. Elsewhere, the Gemara is going to refer to a sukkah that's lamala mechafama is a problem. Ner Chanukah, that's the Malam Echafam is a problem, and the assumption is that you just won't catch it with your eye, that you're not going to see any of those things. That's as far as height. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Varach of Me'asar Amos, Yema'it, if the width of the opening of the Mavoi is more than 10 Amos, that's also no good. You need to be Me'ma'it, you need to minimize that width. From the fact that the Ran explains, why didn't the Mishnah just say it all together? Say, a Mavoi Shu Gavol Malam Me'asar Amos, O Shu Rach of Me'asar, Yema'it, and then Rabbi Yehuda is makshir on both. So why doesn't it just say it that way? So the Rav explains, because the when it's more than 20 amos high, and you're makshir with a korah, it needs a miut. But if you're makshir with a lechi, you don't need to be memayit when it's more than 20 amos high. As opposed to when it's rach of me'aser, it doesn't matter whether you're using a korah or a lechi. Either way, it's going to need to be narrowed. So whereas lamala mechaf ama, you could have two solutions: either lower the korah or don't use a korah, just use a lechi. And like we said, rov rishonim hold that's for sure okay, even if it's lamala mechaf. But if it's rach of me'aser, if it's more than 10 amos wide, whether you use a lechi or a korah, you're still going to need to minimize the doorway. That's how the Ran understands. So if it's rach of me'aser amos, you ma'et v'mieshal tzuras ha'pesach half b'shurach me'aser amos ain't tzarich lamayit. If it's more than 10 amos, if it has the tzuras ha'pesach, then even if it's more than 10 amos, you're not going to need to be ma'it. The tzuras ha'pesach in that sense is more powerful than a korah or a lechi. The tzuras ha'pesach can cover even that which is more than 10 amos. That's why we have tzuras ha'pesachs all around the neighborhood that are way more than 10 amos. The tzuras ha'pesach is very powerful. And even if the mavui is more than 20 amos high, like the Brisa is going to say later on, it's going to work with the Tzuras HaPesach as well. So the Rashba raises the question, why does the Dafka mention Tzuras HaPesach's superpower of being able to work, even if it's more than 10 amos wide, and why doesn't the Mishnah say that Tzuras HaPesach works even if it's more than 20 amos high, because it seems to do that as well. So the Ran explains, because it's more than 20 amos high, you don't need to say that it's kosher with the Tzuras HaPesach, because the Lechi is Machshir, even if it's more than 20 amos high. You don't even need to go to that Madrega of Tzuras HaPesach. Even a Lechi works when it's more than 20 amos high, so we don't need to come on to Tzuras HaPesach. But when it comes to Rach of Me'eser, then you need to come on to Tzuras HaPesach, because the Lechi is not going to work when it's Rach of Me'eser. But so that's the Mishnah, two basic halachos: maximum height, machlokas, whether it's 20 amos or even way higher than that, maximum width is 10 amos. And the way to fix the either one, Tzuras HaPesach for sure works in either one, no matter how high or wide it is, but when it's within that height or width, then you need a lechi or a korah. So Tanan Hasam, says the Gemara, we have a Mishnah at the very beginning of Masechta Sukkah that also talks about something like a 20 amah maximum. Sukkah shi gavah lamala me'aser amah. If you have a sukkah that's more than 20 amos high, psula, such a sukkah is possible according to the Tanakhama of Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's perfectly fine, it can be more than 20 amos high. So Maishna gabi sukkah to tani psula, the gabi mavi tani takanta. Why is it that by sukkah we use the term possible, and yet when it comes to a mavoi, we don't just use the term possible. We don't say with absolutes that it's possible. We tell you what to do about it. We tell you how to fix it. So why is it that there's a difference in language? The Rashba and the Ritva explained that the Gemara's kasha is not on our Mishnah nor on the Mishnah in Sukkah. It's just on the Tanaim in general. They should have been consistent. Not that there's a preferred lashon to use, that yema'id is better or possible is better. Just be consistent. Say the same thing in both places. However, the Tosa Rush understands, no, that the Kasha of the Gemara is, why don't we say by Sukkah the way to fix it? Isn't that a better way to say over the Halacha? Instead of just saying like an absolute, it's possible, tell me what to do about it. So it should say Yema'it by Sukkah as well. But the Kasha is not, why by a Mavoi doesn't it say possible? Because Lashon of possible is not Shaykh for something that's not a mitzvah. What do you mean a Mavoi is possible? Possible for what? It happens to be there's an Isser to carry in it. But Psul is talking about like you have something of a mitzvah. You have a pasul lulav, a pasul esrog, a pasul tefillin, and pasul sefer Torah. When you talk about a mitzvah, you talk about something that's pasul. So that's what Tosa Rush says. It's not asking how come we don't say pasul over here. Nor is it asking why don't we just stay consistent. It's asking that it should say yema'it by sukkah. It's really a kasha on sukkah. That's what Tosa Rush understands. So the Gemara has two answers. Answer number one, sukkah da'araisa, Tani psula, mavi derabanan tani takanta. That since sukkah is a din d'oraisa, we use the term pasul because min haTorah it's going to be pasul. So and mavi, which is only a din d'rabanan that you require a korah over the mavi, we don't use the term pasul because the Tana never even let us know the height of that's proper to place the mavi. So where you could then say, and if you don't do that, it's pasul. So it just mentions takanta. It just mentions the takana of what to to do. Tosis raises the question, you know, wouldn't have been it have been helpful if the Mishnah first would have told me there's something called a mavui, and way to be mad to the mavui is with a lechi or a kara. You know, we made it easy, so as an introduction to the Masechta, I mentioned there are three ways to be mad to. The Mishnah probably should have done that. So Tosis points out, yeah, but we're trying to parallel the Mishnah here with the Mishnah in Sukkah. So since we're trying to make them parallel to each other, so we jump right into it, that if it's the Malavei Chavama, that it's going to be you're going to have to fix it. So answer number one is that when it comes to a Din D'Oraisa, it makes more sense to use the term Psula. When it comes to a Din D'Rabbanan, it makes sense to use the term Takanta. Is this really only a Din D'Rabbanan? So Tikunei Mavuos and Eruvei Chatzeros, all Dinim D'Rabbanan? Yeah, but very early Dinim D'Rabbanan. We're going to see that Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakein Eruvei Chatzeros. So this is like, this is not a Din D'Rabbanan from the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, where the large majority of the Dinim D'Rabbanan happened during the period of Bayesheni. This way precedes that. This is a Takana Shlomo HaMelech, so it's one of the earlier Dinim D'Rabbanan. So that's one answer of the Gemara. V'Bayesheim, another answer, D'Oraisa and Amitani Takanta. You could even mention by a D'Oraisa how to fix it. El Sukkah de Nefishin Milei, Pasuk V'Tani Psula. It's just that by Sukkah, if you were to tell me how to fix a problematic Sukkah, you're going to have to tell me that if it's more than 20 Amos Yema'et, if it doesn't have three walls, make another wall. If it's not 10 Tfachim high, then make it higher. If it's Chamasim U'Mitzilasoi, then you have to add Tzchach. There are all these details that would have had to have been added in if you're telling me about Sukkah. So Pasuk V'Tani Psula, it's much easier to just say Psula in a single breath. You know, the only Mishan Adam the Talmud of Derech Ktsara, the Gemara tells in the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, you're always supposed to teach in the simplest, most straightforward and most brief kind of way, so that's the easiest way. But Mavui, Dlo Nefesh Mili, Tani Takanta, but there's not that much to say about the Mavui. So the Mavui, you just have this halacha of the Malam Echavama, so we just mentioned the Takanta, we mentioned how to solve it. What's the explanation of that first answer, that because if something is Doraisa, it's better to use the term Psula, and when something's Rabbana, it's better to use tell you what to do about it? So I remember when we were learning Masechta Sukkah, Rav Shechter explained, based on the famous Nesivus in Reish Lama Dal, the Nesivus writes that, you know, he doesn't say it this way, but in yeshivas who are trained in brisker terminology, so we always talk about an Isser Gavra and an Isser Cheftza. So really in Shas, you don't have so many times where the Gemara talks about an Isser Gavra and an Isser Cheftza. Nedarim and Nedavos, that's it. The difference between Nedar and Nedava is whether something is an Isser Gavra and an Isser Cheftza. So the Nesivus discusses, what about all Yisurim in the Torah? Are they Yisuri Gavra, Yisurim on the individual, or are they Yisuri Cheftza? Something that's inherent to the object. So the Nesivus suggests, not in so many words, but this is the way all the Achronim understand him, that all Yisuri D'Oraisa are Yisuri Cheftza. All Yisuri D'Rabbanan are Yisuri Gavra. Meaning, an Yisur Cheftza means there's something inherent about the object itself. In this Agavra is that there's nothing about the object. I just need to be careful. I have to modify my behavior. When it comes to Nisr D'Oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the Bria that he created and says, the inherent characteristic of this creation is that it has characteristics of Isr. So he could say, a pig, which I created, has characteristics inherent in the Bria of Isr. Yet when it comes to Yisrim D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan don't have the right to do that. The Rabbanan can't say, oh, chicken and milk are is inherently fundamentally problematic. No, what the Rabban can say is, you are not allowed to eat it, because Lo Sasser, the Torah tells us, I have to listen to what the Rabban tell me. So says the Nesivus, for that reason, all Yisurim D'Oraisa are Yisuri Cheftz, all Yisurim D'Rabban are Yisuri Gavra. So Shakta thought that that's what it means. When it comes to a D'Oraisa, you could speak in absolute terms that describe the object. The object is puzzle. When it comes to D'Rabban, we speak about modifying behavior. We speak about what I can do about it. Oh, what should you do? Tani Takanta. You should be Yema'it. You should do. So that's how we thought is the simple pshat. It's also interesting, this idea of Lamala Mechaf Amma, that the eye is not going to catch that which is the Malam Echav Amma. In Masech HaShabbos, when we talk about an Erchanaka Malam Echav Amma, the Gemara right next to that in Masech HaShabbos, in Daf Chav Beis, tells us that Habar Reik Ein Bo Mayim, that when they threw Yosef in the bar, it says Habar Reik Ein Bo Mayim, Avon Nechash Ma'akrab Nyesh Bo. So the Tar Tzmima points out in his commentary on Chumash, says, wait a second, what's the juxtaposition of Habar Reik Ein Bo Mayim, Avon Nechash Ma'akrab Nyesh Bo, together with the the idea of Ner Chanukah Lamal Mechaf Amma. So the Torah Tamima writes, my uncle Heshi Badner always says this over at the Shabbos table every year, Parshas Vayeshev. So the Torah Tamima writes a beautiful part. He says that that clearly the Shvatim must have not seen the Nechash Ma'akrabim, because if they did and they saw that Yosef was saved from that, for sure they would have been impressed, and they would have, even Nebuchadnezzar, who was a Rasha, when he saw Hanani, Mishael, Azariah being saved from the Kibshon Eish, it changed his mind a little bit. So if they would have seen that Yosef was saved from the Nechash Ma'akrab, it would have had some sort of impact, you would think. So he says, no, it must be that they didn't see. Why? So he calls Bekias. He says, the Mefarish and Maseches Tamid, in the end of the first paragraph of Tamid, says that whenever you have a Lashon of Hashlacha, Vayashlichu, it always means at least 20 Amos. What does the Pasuk say? Vayashlichu Oso Habora. They threw him into the bar. And the Mefarish and Maseches Tamid, that means 20 Amos. So the bore was more than 20 amos deep. Oh, if it's more than 20 amos deep, then we know the eye is not going to catch it, because that's the din by Sukkah, that's the din by Mavoy, and that's the din by Ner Chanukah. So when does the Gemara teach me this din, that this limud, that Abar Rekein Bo Mayim Avon L'chash Ma'akrab M'yeshbo, Dafka juxtaposes it to the din of a Ner Chanukah L'mal Mechaf Amma, because that's what the eye is not going to catch. Okay, that's our cute part for the day. So let's go weiter in Maseches Erevin over here. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Chachamim lo lamdua ela mipischo shel heichal. The Chacham who hold that a korah that's more than 20 amos high is pasul, learn it from the Pesach of the heichal, which is 20 amos, and is called a Pesach in the Torah. So we don't find anything that's called a Pesach in the Torah that's taller than 20 amos, and therefore the Chacham say, that's how I know that a Pesach of a Mavoi cannot be more than 20 amos high. Rabbi Yehuda holds, what do you mean? It could be way higher. So he's going to say that even something more than 20 amos can be a Pesach. Where does he get that? Lo lamada elumi pischo shel ulam. He derives that from the Pesach of the ulam, which was more than 20 amos high. Ditnan, because the Mishnah Maseches Midos that describes the measurements of the various parts of the Beis Hamikdash, pischo shel heichal, the way to enter in from the ulam to the heichal, gavo eser mama. The entranceway was 20 amos, v'rachvo eser amos, and the width of the entranceway was 10 amos. Vishel ulam, but the way to get from the Azara into the Ulam, the doorway in there, was Gavo Arba'im Amma, was 40 Amos high, V'rechbo Esrim Amma, and was 20 Amos wide. So, Shnei Mikra Echa Darshu. And it happens to be that both the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda Darshan from the same Pasuk in the Torah when it comes to the Shechita of the Karban Shlam, meaning each one refers to a Pasuk that calls their Pesach a Pesach. And once it's called a Pesach, so now I can say, oh, that's the measurement of a Pesach. What does the Pasuk say? Ushchato Pesach Oel Moed. By the Karban Shlamim, that it should be shechted by the Pesach of the Oel Moed. So you see that the entrance of the Oel Moed is called the Pesach. Question is, which Pesach is that referring to? The Rabbanan Savri, Kedushas Heichal L'chud, Kedushas Ulam L'chud. The Rabbanan hold that the Kedusha of the Ulam is different than the Kedusha of the Heichal. It's a lower level of Kedusha, and therefore all of the Avodos that have to be done in the Heichal cannot be done in the Ulam. They would be possible done in the Ulam. So only the Heichal has the Kedusha of the Oel Moed in the Midbar. So V'chi Ksiv, Pesach Oel Moed, a Heichal Ksiv. And therefore when it says that Yishach Karm Shan by the Pesach Oel Moed, it must be talking about the Pesach of the Heichal, which corresponds to the Oel Moed in the Midbar. And the Pesach of the Oel Moed was 20 Amos, the Pesach of the Heichal rather, was 20 Amos high, and therefore that's the Limud, that a Pesach is 20 Amos high. But Rabbi Yehuda Savar, no, Heichal V'Ulam Kedusha Achasi. The Heichal and the Ulam are all the same Kedusha, and whatever you're allowed to do in the Heichal, you can do in the Ulam as well. And therefore, V'chiksiv Pesach Ol Moed, Atravayu Duchsiv. So what corresponds to the Pesach Ol Moed of the Mishkan? It's even the Pesach of the Ulam corresponds to the Pesach Ol Moed of the Mishkan. And therefore, it could even be 40 Amos high. You can go much higher. So the Gemara has, that's one explanation of the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. V'Ibay Yaseima, Rabbi Yehuda Nami Kedush Sulam L'chud Kedush Heichal L'chud. Or, alternatively, maybe Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that the Kedusha of the Ulam and the Kedusha of the Heichal are separate Kedushos, and therefore Pesach Ol Moed must be the Pesach of the Heichal and not the Pesach of the Ulam. And the reason that Rabbi Yehuda measures the entranceway of a Mavoi based on the Pesach of the Ulam, which is more than 20 Amos high, is because there's a different Pasuk. Tichsiv El Pesach Ulam Habayis. Pasuk says El Pesach Ulam Habayis, say it's mefurish in the pasuk that the term Pesach is used in the context of ulam. Ah, beferish a pasuk. V'rabbanan iav akasav el Pesach ulam k'dekamrit. And the Rabbanan would say, look, I see your beferish a pasuk, but if it just would have said el Pesach ulam, you'd be right. But hashad d'chsev el Pesach ulam habayis hapasuach li ulam. It's not referring to the Pesach of the ulam. It's talking about the Pesach of the heichal, which is the bayis that opens up into the ulam. So your beferish a pasuk is not really about the Pesach of the ulam. It's about the Pesach of the heichal. So why do I keep using the words beferish a pasuk? Because there is no pasuk that says this. This is a major problem that Rishonim have over here, that the Gemara keeps quoting this pasuk of Pesach ulam habayis. Nowhere in Tanakh do those words appear in connection to each other. El Pesach ulam habayis. And yet this is the drasha that they're arguing about. So the Tosus points out that this is a harkava. This is a grafting of two different psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. In Sefer Yecheskel Perek Mem it says Ve'viuni el ulam habayis, and then in Perek Mem Zayin it says Ve'shiveni el Pesach habayis. So Rabbi Yudas is darshaning it as if it were one pasuk that says el Pesach ulam habayis. So that's how you have to read this whole back and forth in the Gemara, that we're taking two psukim, we're sticking them together. There is a Tosus Masechet Bava Basra that says that the Tanayim were not always 100% familiar, and the Amoraim were not always 100% familiar with every single pasuk in Tanakh. They didn't always remember the exact words of every single pasuk in Tanakh, but you can't say that when they're dashing a halacha from it. If they're dashing a halacha from it, they had to be familiar with the Tanakh. It's difficult to say anyway, but especially when they're dashing a halacha from it, you can't say such a thing. Okay, so says Gemara, wait a second. This pasuk is about the Mishkan. By the Mishkan, there was no ulam. The Pesach of the Mishkan was only 10 amos high. So you can't learn from the Pesach of the Heichal or from the ulam that they're called Pesach. So Ashkan Mishkan Dikri Mikdash or Mikdash Dikri Mishkan. No, we do find that the Torah sometimes calls the Mishkan a Mikdash and calls the Mikdash a Mishkan. And since the Torah sometimes mixes up those terms, we see they must have the same dinim. So when it says V'shachtu Pesach Olam Moed, by the Mishkan, it means that by the Mikdash there's also a din of shechting the Karban Shlamim by the Pesach Olam Moed, and therefore we see that the term Pesach refers to even the entrance ways that were in the Mikdash, not only in the Mishkan. Because if you're not going to say that the dinim of the Mikdash and the Mishkan are the same, Hadam Revidom Shmuel Shlamim Sheshchatan Kodem Psichas Dalso Sehechel Psulin. When Shmuel says that if you shech the Karban Shlamim too early in the morning before they open the doors of the Heichel, that it's going to be possible. Shenemar, because the pasuk says Ushchato Pesach Ol Moed, and it quotes this pasuk about the Mishkan, Bizman Shepsuchin, Velo Bizman Sheinulim, and we dash it from the pasuk that you're only allowed to shech the Karban Shlamim when the doors are open, but not when the doors are closed. Hakik Siv Ayi B'Mishkan Ksiv, but that pasuk says by the Mishkan. So how do I know to darshan it about the dlasos of the Heichal of the Mikdash as well? Ella Ashkan Mikdash Dikri Mishkan, Mishkan Dikri Mikdash. It must be because the two are connected to each other. That we do find that the Torah calls the Mikdash the Mishkan and the Mishkan the Mikdash. So we're able to say if it says that you have to shech by the Pesach Ol Moed in the Mishkan, we know that you have to shech by the Pesach of what the equivalent of the Ol Moed is in the Mikdash. And it could be that that's the Machlokas Tanayim. What is the equivalent of the Pesach Ol Moed when it comes to the Mikdash? So says Mar Bishlam in Mikdash Tikri Mishkan, I can point to you exactly where the Mikdash is sometimes referred to as a Mishkan, Tichsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'nasati Mishkani B'sochachem, that of course Baruch was promising B'nai Yisrael that if they follow the Chukos HaTorah, this is in the Tochacha and Vayikra, that he's going to build the Beis HaMikdash in their land, and it's clearly talking about the Beis HaMikdash, not the Mishkan in the Midbar, because the Mishkan was already built at that point. And Kodesh Baruch Hu's talking in the future, if you follow all the halachas and you follow all the mitzvot HaTorah and you behave yourselves, you're going to get a Beis HaMikdash. Mishkan de Ikri Mikdash Minalan. But where do we find that the Mishkan is called the Mikdash? If it's based on what the Torah says about the travels of the Jewish people in the Midbar, so you see that the Bnei Kohas were carrying the clay Mishkan in their call, and yet we refer to them as Nosei Hamigdash, so you see that the Mishkan is called the Migdash, and that doesn't really convince me. That's not talking about the Mishkan, that's talking about the Aron, which is the Mikdash, it's the most holy thing. The Aron, it's not a coincidence that the Aron would be referred to as Mikdash, the source of all Kedushas HaMikdash, is the existence of the Aron. Rav Shachter talks about in Eretz HaTzvi that even by a Beis HaKnesses, the source of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is the Aron with the Sefer Torah Shabo, that all the Kedusha of the Mikdash and of the Beis HaKnesses, which is a Mikdash Ma'at, emanates from the Aron. So you refer to the Aron as Mikdash. That makes sense, but it's not referring to the Mishkan when it says Mikdash. Elamehacha, where do we find that the Mishkan is referred to as Mikdash? Va'asli Mikdash v'shachanti b'sochem. I mean, it's right there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the tzivoy to build a Mishkan, what's the tzivoy? Va'asli Mikdash. So you see very clearly that the Mishkan is called Mikdash as well. Okay, so now the Mishnah had said that a Pesach HaMavoy, that you're using a lechi or a korah to be matir, the Pesach can't be more than 10 amos wide. So Gemara explains that based on the shitos of the Chacham and Rabbi Yehuda, you know, where we have a machlokas, what's the model Pesach that we're looking at the dimensions of to figure out the dimensions of a Pesach of a Mavoy? Is it the Pesach Ulam or is it the Pesach HaHechel? So now we got to try to plug that in to the width. Meaning up until now we were talking about the height, that the shita of the Chacham and that the height is a maximum of 20 amos. Well, that's the Pesach HaHechel. And the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that no, even 40 amos, that's the Pesach of the Ulam. What about the width? That it can't be more than ten amos. So Bein Rabban and Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Lelchum Pesach Shar HaChotzer. So wait a second. Both according to the Rabbanan, who learn from the Pesach HaHechel, and Rabbi Yehuda, who learns from the Pesach HaUlam, they should learn the width from the Shar HaChotzer of the Mishkan, because it also uses the term Pesach when it describes the entranceway into the Chotzer that surrounded the Mishkan. How wide was that opening that you would enter the Chotzer surrounding the Mishkan? Well, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, Orech HaChotzer Mea Ba'ama V'roch of Chamishim B'Chamishim. Well, one thing we know is the entire width of the Chotzer was 50 amos. Good. So how wide was the Pesach within that 50 amos wall? The Koma Chamesh amos, its height was 5 amos. Fine. Uksiv, and the Pasuk says, V'chamesh Esrei Amos Kloim LaKosef. Uksiv LaKosef HaShemis Mizeh Mizeh L'Shar HaChotzer Kloim Chamesh Esrei Amos. And then we're told that there were 15 amos of wall on either side of the Pesach. So running along the wide wall, the 50 amos wide wall, there were 15 amos of wall, 15 amos of wall, and the remainder of Pesach. Doesn't take such great mathematics to figure out that leaves 20 amos wide of an entranceway into the chotzer of the Mishkan. So malalan esrimaf kan. So over here also by Mavui, we should say chamish baruch of esrim, that it has 5 amos high with a width of 20 amos. So Pesach that's 20 amos high, we could be machshir even if it's for sure if it's 20 amos high, we should be able to be machshir even if it's more than 20 amos wide. Even if it's only 5 amos high, we say 20 amos wide is considered a reasonable Pesach based on the Mishkan. So how come the Mishnah says that if the Pesach of the Mavoi is more than 10 amos, we're going to need to be mema'edit? So the Gemara is not asking right now, well, why do we allow it to be more than 5 amos high? The Pesach of the Mishkan, of the Chatzar Mishkan, was only 5 amos high, because as long as you find somewhere in Tanakh that the word Pesach is used to refer to something higher, so you know that that's called a Pesach. But we're more focused on this is the widest Pesach we find in Tanakh. So why don't we use this as the definition of Pesach? So says Gemara, no. By the Pesach Chatzar Mishkan, Pesach Shar HaChatzar Ikri, Pesach Stam Elo Ikri. It's called a Pesach Shar, but it's not called a Pesach. We need to find something that's just Stam called a Pesach, and that's going to be our model to determine the dimensions of the entranceway of a Mavui. The Ibai Yisema, or another answer, Kiksiv Klaim Chamesh Esrei Amos LaKasef, when the Pasuk says that there are 15 amos of curtain on each side of the Pesach, Begova Hudichsiv. The 15 amos dimension of the curtain is not how wide along the width of the opening of the chatzar to the Mishkan the curtains run. No, it's the height of the curtains that surround the chatzar of Mishkan. It's 15 amos of height. So Gova Vaksiv Vakoma Chamesh amos. What do you mean the height? The height, it says Beferish in the pasuk that it's only 5 amos. No, Ahumi Sfas Mizbeach Lamaila. When we say it's only 5 amos of height, that means 5 amos above the height of the Mizbeach. That since it's 15 amos tall, and the Mizbeach itself is 10 amos tall, so the the curtains that surrounded the chatzar extend 5 amos above the top of the mizbeach. That, by the way, is not so pashut. There is a machlokas in Masechet Zvachim and Daf Nun Tes Daf Samach, a machlokas Tanoim, that Rabbi Yossi's shita is that in fact that's true that the mizbeach was 10 amos high in the Mishkan as well. Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds that the height of the mizbeach in the Mishkan, in the Mikdash Einochinami, but in the Mishkan, the height of the mizbeach was only 3 amos. So you have to say that even though the Gemara's Kasha is both according to the Chachamim and according to Rabbi Yehuda, the second answer that the Gemara is giving over here only works according to the Chachamim. Meaning the Gemara had asked, why don't I learn from the Pesach of the Chatzar of the Mishkan, which was this 20 Amma wide Pesach? So the Gemara gave two answers. Answer number one, that's not called the Pesach. It's called the Pesach Shar. Okay, that answer works for everybody. Answer number two, no, we don't, and it never said that it's 20 Ammas of Pesach, because when we spoke about 15 amos on each side, we're talking about 15 amos of height. That only works according to the Chachamim. That's not going to work according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda himself in Masechet Zvachim holds that the height of the Mizbeach was not 10 amos, and therefore it doesn't make any sense to refer to the height of the curtains as being 5 amos, because they protrude 5 amos above the height of the Mizbeach. So this answer only works according to the Rabbanan. It does not work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, now the Gemara discusses the maximum width of a doorway according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Mepisco Shalulam Gama, Rabbi Yehuda will derive from the Pesach, could it be that Rabbi Yehuda is deriving the dimensions of a Pesach from the Ulam Vatnan Varach Me'asra Amos Yima'it V'lo Polig Rabbi Yehuda? In our Mishnah we said that if your Pesach is more than 10 Amos wide, it's no good, it's too big, and Rabbi Yehuda apparently didn't disagree, but if he learns from the Pesach of the Ulam, he should have allowed an opening up to 20 Amos wide. So Rabbi Polig Bebraisa, he did disagree. The Mishnah just didn't record it. In the Braisa it's recorded. Titania Varach Me'asra Amos Yima'it Rabbi Yehuda Marino Tzarech Lema'it. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't need to be Mema'it if it's more than 10 Amos wide. V'liflog b'masnisin. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda speak up in the Mishnah? So Palik Begova V'ad in the Rechba. He figured that you'll realize that if he's arguing about the height, it must be that it's based on something, and you'll realize that it's based on the Pesach of the Ulam, and then you'll realize that there, just like there's a different dimension of height when it comes to the Pesach of the Ulam than the Pesach of the Echel, there's a different dimension of width when it comes to the Pesach of the Ulam as well. V'akati Rabbi Yehuda M'pischa Shalulam Gamar. But still, could Rabbi Yehuda be learning from the Pesach of the Ulam? V'atanya Mavay Shukavah Master Mami Yemayit Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. If it's more than 20 amos high, the Tanakhama says you have to lower it. Rabbi Yehuda says kosher. Add 40 and 50 amma. V'tani bar kapara and bar kapara adds ad meya. It can even be 100 amos tall. Well, where does that come from? The Pesach of the Ulam is 40 amos high. It's not 50. It's not 100. So bishlam bar kapara. I understand. According to bar kapara, you could say that really Rabbi Yehuda is only makshir until 40 amos. Guzma. He likes to be dramatic, so he says, "I'm gonna be a million amos tall." But he really means 40 amos tall. No one's building anything more than 40 amos tall anyway. El Rabbi Yehuda, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's makshir up until 40 or 50 amos, that the way the Brisa reports it, my guzma, wait, that's not a guzma, that sounds like he's being very precise. So bishlam of the Rabbi Yehuda arba'im kamar m'pischo shululam. I get where you get the number 40, that's directly from the Pesach of the Ulam. El chamisha minale, but where do you get the number 50 from? How could 50 amos tall be a Pesach? We just said Rabbi Yehuda derives it all from the Pesach of the Ulam, right? What's the basic fact that we've been assuming up until now? That the Rabbanan derived their definition of Pesach from the Pesach of the Heichal, and Rabbi Yehuda derives his definition of Pesach from the Pesach of the Ulam, and that's how they get their different dimensions. Says Gemara, now we got it all wrong. Rabbi Yehuda does not derive his definition of Pesach from the Pesach of the Ulam. Am Rav Chista Hamas Nisa Ati Isay L'Rav. The Brisa misled Rav. D'Tanya Mavui Shu Gavo Mesher Ma'ama Yoser Mipischo Shel Heichal Yema'it. That if the Mavui is more than 20 amos high, which is taller than the Pesach of the Heichal, you have to be Mema'it. So you see that the Chachamim derive their shear from the Pesach of the Heichal. So who saw that Rav made a mistake? He thought Midrabbanan Mipischo Shel Heichal Gamar, Rabbi Yehuda Mipischo Shel Ulam Gamar. That it must be, if the Rabbanan derive from the Pesach of the Heichal, Rabbi Yehuda's basis must be the Pesach of the Ulam. Velohi, but that was just a mistake. Rabbi Yehuda Mipischo De Melachim Gamar. Rabbi Yehuda just learned it from Pesachim that he saw, and when he went to visit palaces and things, he saw that that a king will build a very nice grand entranceway, and sometimes it's 40 amos high, sometimes 50 amos high. It's got nothing to do with the Pesach of the Ulam. So we scratch everything we set up until this point. Meaning at least within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. V'rabbanan imi pischo shel heichal gemiri. So ask the Gemara, but wait a second. The Rabbanan wanted to derive from the Pesach of the Heichal. Liboy de lo Chasos Kehechel. The Hechel didn't just have an entrance way, it actually had doors on the entrance. So shouldn't the entrance of a Mavoi also have doors? Alama Tanan, how come the Mishnah is going to say later on in Daf Yud Aleph that Hechsher Mavoi Beishame Omrim Lechi Vikora Beisil Omrim Lechi O Kora, that we have Machlokes Tanayim, whether you need both a post and a beam, or one or the other is good enough? And we pass on like Beisil, obviously, that one or the other is good enough. Well, why don't you need delassos? Why don't you need doors? So answers the Gemara, it's also Hechel Litznius Bealmud Davidan. You're right that the Hechel had doors, but the function of those doors was only Litznius, that people shouldn't see what's going on inside. But it's not, the doors were not fundamental into making it a Pesach. It's called a Pesach even without the doors. The doors were just there to create a certain added sense of Tznius, because Kedusha always demands Tznius, right? So since what was going on inside were the most Kadosh activities, Kedusha is always associated with Tznius. That's why there's Rav Shachter talks about this in one of his Sfarim, either Eretz Tzvi or Bikvei Hatzon, that the association with Kedusha and Tzniyos, that's why I think in Eretz Tzvi he talks about Kedusha Pesach Knesses. That's why even people who women who in the mid 20th century in America didn't cover their hair, they walk into a shul, they always cover their hair. Women who never wore stockings outside, they walk into a shul, they're wearing stockings, because there's a sense of extra Tzniyos that's required when you're encountering Kedusha. So Elameata lo tahani leitzuras haPesach. So says Gemara, if the Chum learned the Shir Pesach from the Pesach of the Heichal, so the a Mavli that's more than 10 amos wide, a Tzuras haPesach shouldn't work. Da Heichal Tzuras haPesach havilo, because the Heichal had a Tzuras haPesach, vavilu achi yaser amos hudraviyach, but it was still only allowed to be 10 amos wide, not more than that. Alama tiradim yeshul Tzuras haPesach al pishrach l'meser amos in a tzorach l'mayit. Why then, if it's even more than 10 amos, do we allow for a Tzuras haPesach to correct it? So says Gemara, midu utayma el rav. We only needed to be miyashiv the Mishnah according to Rav, who said that the Chum derived from the Pesach Heichal. According to Rav, it's not a kasha. Hamasner Rav Yehuda Lechia Bar Rav Kamei de Rav. There was a Maisa that Rav Yehuda was teaching this Mishnah. Techia the son of Rav, Techia the son of Rav, in front of Rav, and he taught him that if a Mavoi has a Tzuras haPesach, even if it's very wide, more than 10 amos, Einot Tzarich Lemayit, that you don't need to minimize it. For Amarlei, and Rav corrected Rav Yehuda, and he said Asniyot Tzarich Lemayit, that you should teach it instead with the words Tzarich Lemayit. So according to Rav, the Mishnah is following his Shita, that since he learned the Shir of the Pesach of the Mavoi from the Pesach of the Heichal, even if it has a Tzuras haPesach, it's not going to be kosher if it's more than 10 amos wide, exactly like the Pesach of the Heichal. Okay, Beth Shem, we'll pick up with the last two words on the page tomorrow. Elamei Atah. Have a great day, everyone.